Ahead of the Republican National Convention in July, we talked to State Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming.
And now, as the Democratic National Convention gets underway in Chicago, we turn our attention to Wisconsin Democrats.
The four-day event is set to draw tens of thousands of people, including 95 Wisconsin delegates, to set the party platform and celebrate their presidential nominee.
Last week, we spoke with Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and we started out by discussing Vice President Kamala Harris's plans to campaign in Milwaukee during the DNC.
I think voters in Wisconsin are going to see with crystal clarity that their ballots could determine the winner of this presidential race. That's why the Republican convention was here. That's why we will have our nominee on Wisconsin soil, maybe the same kind of place that we saw the Republican nominee. And it's why Vice President Harris came to Wisconsin the Tuesday after she became our nominee. It's why she was back in Eau Claire. How was that last week? The energy that she's bringing to the Wisconsin campaign specifically really communicates to voters that they matter in this election, that they're seen, that they're powerful, and that if they want a future of freedom and opportunity for all and brightness and joy, they've got to vote for Vice President Harris and defeat MAGA weird Donald Trump.
What does that communicate about being a battleground state?
We have this ridiculous system with the Electoral College that was fundamentally a compromise over slavery when the country was founded. And it means today that politics is kind of like trench warfare. And it's just that handful of states that are right at the front lines of the battle that determine the outcome. What that means in practice is that voters in Wisconsin are many times more likely to tip the entire outcome of the presidential race than voters in almost any other state in America. And that in turn means that the candidates spend more time here, the campaigns spend more money here, that volunteer hours have a bigger impact in Wisconsin than they do anywhere else. Because the 2016 election, it tipped for Trump in Wisconsin. We were the tipping point state by about 3 votes per ward across Wisconsin. And in 2020, we were the tipping point state for Biden by, again, 3 votes per ward across Wisconsin. If you bring a couple friends to vote, you might tip the ward that tips the state, that tips the presidential election and defines the future of American democracy.
So turning now to the party conventions, delegates vote or select their party's nominee, but Vice President Kamala Harris is already selected as the nominee after that online virtual roll call vote. So what purpose does the ceremonial convention roll call have?
We'll have a roll call that's essentially a celebration of American democracy and a celebration of our nominee. I think from every state, you'll hear and see folks who represent that state come up to the microphone and announce the delegation that the numbers of votes cast for Kamala Harris and Vice President Walz. And in the course of seeing that roll call, you'll see America. You'll see the Democratic Party, a big tent coalition party that seeks to lift up everyone in our great land. I'm very excited about the Wisconsin moment in the roll call, but I'm excited about seeing the other states as well. This is how democracy actually functions. It's kind of the brass tacks of the system of democracy that translates this incredibly diverse country of 380-ish million people into a set of votes that ultimately choose one person to be the most powerful person in the world. And the mechanics of how that all actually comes together kind of fills me with awe. It's really unusual in human history to have anything like this, where people actually get to decide the leaders instead of the leaders just holding on to power at any cost. And this convention specifically, after our sitting president took this really selfless decision to put the country ahead of his own personal power and now has passed the torch on to Vice President Harris as our nominee, it's a celebration of democracy at the deepest level.
In that moment of, as you said, passing the torch, President Biden dropping out of the race and Harris becoming the nominee, a little bit more in your camp, what have you seen in terms of volunteerism? What have you seen in your fundraising numbers?
So many people are talking about the vibes, how the vibes have changed, how the energy is great. I see those manifested in metrics. Every single thing that I can measure is going up. Fundraising has shot up. Hundreds of thousands of dollars that came in the 48 hours after that big decision. And the contributions have not stopped. Applications to work on our team at wisdoms.org/jobs. People can apply to work for us. Amazing people coming in We're hiring dozens week over week to expand our operation. Volunteers signing up in the thousands and then showing up and actually knocking on tens of thousands of doors and calling tens of thousands of phones weekend after weekend. And then the response we get when we actually talk to voters is also going up in terms of energy and support and commitments to vote for Vice President Harris and Governor Walz, and commitments to then become volunteers themselves, from polling to social media engagement to really any number that we can track. We're seeing things move in the right direction, which is not to say that we can take this race for granted. It's to say that the enthusiasm, a kind of fugue state that Democrats were in just a few weeks ago, that is completely gone, and it's been replaced by a level of enthusiasm that can fuel a winning campaign up and down the ballot.
We're talking about the Democratic National Convention in Chicago with State Party Chair Ben Wickler. Ben, turning to the platform, the platforms aren't action items, but they really show the party's values, where it stands on issues. The Democratic Party releasing a draft of the platform prior to President Biden dropping out of the race. You know, albeit you're not on the drafting committee, but do you anticipate the platform shifting now that Harris is the nominee?
I haven't heard about the possibility of it shifting. I will say that the core values that Vice President Harris is running on are the same core values that she was running on when she was our vice presidential nominee. And at the center of those is this idea of freedom. It's the idea that each of us should have the freedom to make our own decisions about our own bodies. The idea that we should be free to love who we love and be who we are. That we shouldn't have the government trying to control our personal lives, tracking women's menstrual cycles. That is really so far from what the Democratic Party is about. And the idea of freedom not only unites Democrats, it's also something that so many Republican voters and independent voters find really compelling. There's also the positive freedoms, the freedom to be able to work and support your family and retire with dignity, the freedom to be able to learn at a well-funded school and then come home safe from gun violence. These are freedoms that really should be the floor that we seek to empower everyone with, and those freedoms create opportunity. Those themes are etched all through our platform. And they're the same themes that you hear when Vice President Harris gives a speech in Wisconsin or anywhere else. And I think that those themes, that message, that vision of the future is the key to the victory this November up and down the ballot.
In terms of the border, former President Trump really hammering the Biden administration and Harris on border security, calling it an invasion. And looking at a Marquette University Law School poll from the spring, you know, results showing the percentage of Wisconsinites who feel those immigrants should have to leave their jobs in the country has nearly doubled in just the past 2 years. Are Democrats vulnerable on an issue like the border?
Republicans are running on messages about the border because they want to have a problem to run on. And Vice President Harris and Democrats have been working to actually bring resolution. I don't think anyone thinks that a confused and chaotic system at the border is good for anyone. And that's why Vice President Harris worked with Republicans and Democrats and President Biden to put together a tough, fair, bipartisan plan for border security, to give a clear and orderly system and safety for folks seeking asylum, to have a system to actually process their claims and figure out what's going on, and to make sure that we can address issues like human trafficking and fentanyl trafficking. That plan, which had bipartisan support, was shot down by Donald Trump because Donald Trump did not want to solve a problem when a Democrat was in power. And the Harris campaign has ads about that on TV right now. I think that it's really critical to look at what has actually happened in recent memory. And now, you know, border crossings are down and there's a lot of work to do to address the root causes of the fact that people have to flee countries with oppression, like with Maduro and Venezuela, who is trying right now to steal an election in which he lost. And at the same time, we know that we have basic human values. We know what's in the Bible. We know what says on the Statue of Liberty. And we want to treat people with fairness and respect. All of those things are wrapped up in these questions around the border. And frankly, Trump is just trying to demonize and alarm and promote fear to distract people from the fact that he wants to take away their freedom. And he wants to take the government and break it into bits and give it to billionaires as tax handouts. Those things are profoundly unpopular. And that's why Trump has to change the subject in order to try to get a message across.
I want to change the focus here for a moment, turning to one of the state's congressional races in the 3rd District in western Wisconsin. You know, 2 years ago, the Democratic Party was outspent 4-1 in this race by the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, and Republican Derek Van Orden won by less than 4 percentage points. And we talked about this with UW La Crosse political scientist Anthony Chergosky on Wisconsin Today. That was last week.
I've heard that Democrats are interested in making investments into the effort to topple Van Orden. There are Democratic-aligned political action committees and outside groups that have been interested in weighing in. And of course, there's talk about the National Democratic Party getting involved this time around.
So as Democrat Rebecca Cook is now set to take on Van Orden, what can you say about party resources?
I will say that here at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, we're going to fight with everything we've got to elect Rebecca Cook and defeat Derek Van Orden. But critically, the state parties are not allowed to fund TV ads, for example. But national Democratic groups and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, they can play a big role in helping win the air war. And they already have, and this is, I believe, public data, they've put down millions of dollars in reservations for TV ads in the 3rd Congressional District. That shows that they are on offense. In 2022, they were on defense. The red wave was supposed to sweep over the country. And so for open seats like that, they just didn't prioritize them, which I have dearly, dearly wished that they had. Now, Rebecca Cook and her message of reproductive freedom, of trusting women and their families and their doctors to make their own decisions instead of having politicians override them, her message of supporting small farms and family farms like the dairy farm that she grew up on in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, supporting small businesses on main streets across western Wisconsin, her message of refusing to be a part of the kind of MAGA extremism that you see from Derek Van Orden, who was on Capitol grounds on January 6th at the Stop the Steal rally protest riot. That message will actually be carried on the airwaves, will resonate across this district. I think there's a very real chance that we flip this district back to blue this November.
Very quickly here, you're one of the automatic delegates of Wisconsin's 95 representing the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. What is one thing that people around the country should know about the political culture of our state?
Voters know that Wisconsin is a purple state. It's the only state where 4 of the last 6 presidential elections has come down to less than 1 percentage point. But my advice to folks thinking about Wisconsin politics is to look under the hood, because this is a state that, while it's often perched right on a knife's edge, it's a state that has deep progressive values and deep progressive roots. It's a state that helped create Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security, unemployment and workers' compensation, Earth Day, the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment so women could vote, the first state to have statewide protections for LGBTQ people, the first state to declare the Fugitive Slave Act unconstitutional and refuse to be a part of the system of re-enslaving people who had escaped to Wisconsin on the Underground Railroad. That is part of this state's DNA. And there's a far right tradition. You can see that in Joe McCarthy all the way to Ron Johnson now. And if you want to win in Wisconsin, it's not that you take the positions that won't really appeal to or offend anybody. It's that you champion causes that have majority support, like freedom, like unions, and strong support for working families across Wisconsin, like expanding voting rights, an opportunity to get ahead economically, and a vision that really cares for everyone and ensures that it's not too expensive and not too hard to raise a kid. Those kinds of positions really resonate here.
Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on. Really grateful.
And that is Ben Wickler, who is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. To hear continued coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, tune into Wisconsin Today throughout the week. WPR reporters and producers are in Chicago covering key speeches, talking with Wisconsin's delegates, and sharing stories from Wisconsinites who are working as vendors and volunteers. And to hear our conversation with State Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming, go to wpr.org/Wisconsin Today.